We are mostly live and completely local. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van.
Ron Van what? You want to say Dam? Is that it? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hi, how you doing? Hey. How are you? Oh, good. Don't talk back to me. Welcome to Metro South Podcasting. Pleasure to have you here. Oh, you're looking good today. I see you've decided to put some pants on today, unlike myself. I want you for the next 45 minutes to an hour to imagine me doing this program, this episode, without any pants on. Yeah. Hungry? Actually, I do have pants on. That was just a little thing that I do in order to arouse your your listenership. But I think it had the opposite effect. It's Thursday, October 2nd. In the year of our Lord, 2014, my goodness, I can't believe that not only is it not October 1st, it's actually October 2nd, where they weren't kidding around when they said it was October. They were serious. It really is. It's October 2nd, baby. It's like doubled. It's doubled from yesterday. Yesterday was the 1st. Today's like doubled. It's the 2nd. Which is phenomenal to me. It's time just marches on. Maybe there's an alternate universe where it's still September 30th. Is that possible? Can I go to that one? Maybe it's sunny outside. Haven't had rain in like 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden it rains all day. Not torrentially. It wasn't horrible. It was kind of... I love the rain. The reason I love the rain, and I've said it before, and when I tell this to people, they go, oh, yeah, okay, because they kind of think it's a little sick, but it's true. A bright, sunny, beautiful blue sky is nice, gives me skin cancer, and also I have to wear all this lotion and stuff. Hey, Ron, why don't you go to the beach? Go to the beach. I have to bathe in lotion to do that. You don't understand. You don't just go to the beach. You have to marinate yourself first. It's not that easy. Anyway, we're far from beach weather. And everybody's out in nice weather. They're doing stuff. They're tooling around. When it's raining out, people don't go out so much. The roads, highways are still crowded because people can't drive in the rain. They can't drive in anything, much less the rain. So that sucks on highways. But there's not a lot of people shopping. Well, people just tend not to go out. Oh, I'll wait until it stops raining. So there are a lot of people on the road. It's almost like a ghost town in some places. I like that. B, it's just water, man. You know, people get so crazy. Oh, if a raindrop hits me, I'm going to melt like the Wicked Witch of the East, North, whatever. It's just water. When you take a shower, you don't die. It's like a shower with your clothes on. It's like a party in your mouth. It's not a big deal. And here's something interesting. When something gets wet, it tends to dry. Oh, I thought it was wet forever. No, it dries. So I don't know what people are so scared of in the rain. And besides, if a woman's not wearing a bra, then her tits show through her shirt. So it's not a horrible thing. And for you girls, same deal, a guy's tits will show through his shirt too. I'm not too sure that excites you as much as when a guy sees a girl's stuff. I'm not sure that's on a par. Don't know, can't say, not sure. Number three is that everybody's where they belong when it rains. There aren't people hanging out on the corner in the rain going, "Hey, baby, you know what you got on you, man? Hey, buddy, hey, yeah, I'm a little short on the day. You got cash? I'm a little short, $35. Can I borrow $35? There's nobody hanging out on the street. They're all inside somewhere. And it looks nicer not to have people hanging out. Homeless people somehow find a home. I don't know how that happens, but they're in shelters or something. But they're not just standing there or lying in the curb when it's pouring rain out. They go somewhere. Even if it's an alcove on a building, at least they're not in full sight. Now, I am a very sensitive guy. And I've said this. I've told you I'm sensitive. I don't want you to understand this. I'm just saying. That's all I'm just saying. I feel horrible for homeless people. I know some homeless people. Personally, I know them. I feel horrible. But, just saying, seeing human beings lying in a gutter, it's not something that is a pleasing sight. It's not like you're driving down the street and you go, "Hey, kids, look out the car window, look, see? Look, and that's cute. Oh, he's lying in the street in the gutter. Oh, that is so adorable. Aw. Kids, go over and pet him." You don't do that. You feel bad, and it doesn't look good. That's all I'm saying. I don't know why you don't understand what I'm talking about. I'm going to take a sip of coffee, so maybe I should play some music or something. Oh, the coffee. All right, fine. I don't know what it is about coffee. I hate the damn stuff. You might like it, but you may think you like it, but you really don't. Coffee sucks. It's a horrible tasting flavor. Seriously. All right, you may disagree with me. That's why people are placed on the earth in order to make my life more complicated. So some people disagree. I understand that. I can live with that somewhat. Maybe I don't like it, but I can live with it. The coffee bean is not something that I pop in my mouth and roll around under my tongue and say, this is some flavored goodness from heaven. No. So what do we do to make the bitterness of the coffee bean taste better? We put it in hot water. And yeah, I know, I don't get it. And some people drink their coffee black, which means the coffee is like a darkish brown, blackish color, and they put nothing in it whatsoever. They don't put any sugar, they don't put any cream in it. Maybe they put sugar in it. I think it can still be black if you put sugar in it. I don't know. I don't know the terminology. I don't even know. I have no idea. I was in a Starbucks like three times in my life to meet somebody. And I may believe I was drinking coffee. I really didn't digest it. Because if I did, my guts would have come out in diarrhea form. Because that Starbucks stuff, man, if you ever want to lose weight, forget all the diet pills and stuff. Just go to Starbucks and say, "Load me up, baby." And you will clean your system out within 10 minutes. Your kidneys will be coming out of your ass. I mean, everything flows out of that thing. It's like a septic system you've never seen before in your life. That's all it's good for, by the way. That and to make you feel like you're really hip. You're really, like, I don't even know what the word is. You're really, like, you're into the coffee, man. Into the coffee scene, man. Coffee sucks. And yet at the same time, there are people that drink it every single day. And, you know, you can acquire a taste to anything. If you sat down and had a plate of my shit every day, I mean, literally my defecation on a plate. Oh, I'm losing listeners left and right now, but I'm trying to make a point. If you were to eat my defecation on a daily basis, the first few nights might be a little bit difficult for you to swallow, but after like a couple of months, if that's all you had to eat, you go, you know, it's really not so bad. Because it would be habitual. Like, where's Ron's defecation? Where is it? I miss it. Give me a plate of it. You would ask for it. You would ask for it, I guarantee. Because I got to tell you something. It's pretty tasty. It's pretty damn tasty. All right. This is why I'm not on the regular radio anymore. Actually, it's not why. Here's why. Because I don't speak Creole. not to beat a dead horse, which is a disgusting image. Why would you beat a dead horse? Well, obviously, there's no point to it, and that's what this means. The station that I was with on your car radio, which I call the car radio station, was owned by a Haitian gentleman, a fine man. I like him very much. He decided to go all Haitian. It's all Haitian all the time. And I believe the language of the Haitian community is Creole. The closest that I come to Creole is if I have shrimp, I'll make a Creole sauce, which is tasty. But that's it. Beyond that, not kind of understanding how to utilize that language. As I don't know Creole, and as the whole structure of the station changed, and I would have been one of the few English-speaking shows on an all-Creole station, I went into podcasting. What is podcasting, you might say? None of your damn business. It is like if you have Comcast or Cox, which is a cable company, has to be defined, or Warner Cable if you're listening in New York, and I guess there are some others, I really don't know. You have your on-demand where you can watch any show anytime you want. That's what this is. You can listen to any one of the shows that I do, any one of the radio episodes, at any time, any place, anywhere, anytime. So that's what it is. And I do a different show every weekday. Saturdays and Sundays, not so much. Monday through Friday, yes. You can hear a new show by 9 o'clock in the morning any given weekday. And that's what I do. I used to take phone calls from listeners. I love them. They're wonderful people. A gigantic load off my shoulders. I can just sit here and spout and talk. And hopefully, some of you will find that to be habitual, similar to drinking coffee every day. That's my pitch. Thank you so much for listening, but I'm not finished yet. So that's the deal. For those of you listening for the first time, that's the deal.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you know, you probably did. Okay, it's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Welcome back to the program. Welcome back to my German friends. We have a lot of listeners in Germany. I don't think so. Although it's feasible, I just doubt it. I'm not sure. Is this Creole music? I don't know. Is this Creole music? I'm not sure. Sounds like a pleasant little tune. I'm not sure about that, though. All right. Here we go. Hold on to your seats. Here we go. I have Sirius Radio in my car. Now, I don't mean Serious, like it's like Sirius Radio. They only talk about Sirius stuff. No, I'm not talking. That's not what it is. You probably know Sirius Radio is a subscription service where on your car radio for cars that like have four tires, those cars, you can listen to non-commercial radio for the most part. They're sneaking it in, believe me. But anyway, you're familiar with Sirius Satellite Radio, right? Okay, fine. That's the radio where if you go under a bridge or through a tunnel, you ain't going to hear shit. That's the definition of that. It's the definition is not on their website, but I'm telling you, that's the definition. Okay. If someone stands between you and the satellite, you ain't hearing anything. That's the definition of Sirius satellite radio. I have an annual subscription. I got a car like a couple of years ago that actually had that built into the dashboard. Anyway, so it cost me, you ready for this? It's $170 a year. Seriously, Ron, what are you, an asshole? Yeah, I think I am. I think you've pegged me right there. Mm-hmm. It's $170 a year. It's an annual renewal, which means that it'll go on my credit card. I won't even know I paid the damn thing for another year unless I check my credit card bill, which I do every single month. I check. I'm fastidious about it. It's a festival when I do it. It's $170. This time, I caught it. There was a renewal letter in the mail, and it said, Ron, we're charging your credit card. It's being renewed. That's it. So I said to myself, nah, maybe I don't need this anymore. Maybe I've graduated from the schmuck of the year position to maybe I don't need it anymore. So I call up the Sirius Radio. By the way, not easy to get their phone number for me. I call them up because I still do the direct contact. I don't contact people online. I call people. I want to hear firsthand that you understood what I said. I want to know firsthand that you said, yes, I will do it. Because I always say, what's your name? Or what's your operator number or something to identify you? Because if what you say you're going to do, you don't do, I will hunt you down and I will kill you. It works. It's effective. So I call Sirius Radio and I say, I want to cancel my subscription. And all of a sudden it was like, you could hear in the background, oh crap, he's going to cancel. They get very upset. They get very, very upset because no one ever leaves Sirius Radio subscriptions unless they have passed away. And even then, it's tough to cancel. But he's been dead for 3 years. I don't care. He's on auto renewal. I'm sorry. I can't do anything about it. You went to his funeral, though, Joe. I'm sorry. I can't do anything. He's on auto renewal. I can't do anything. So I speak to this young lady. I assume she's young. I don't know. Nice sounding lady, and says, "Yeah, you're on your auto renewal." I say, "Yeah, I don't want to." And she says, "Is something wrong with the service? Did I do something? Did I say something? Is it something I said? Is it something? Is it my perfume? Is it something I did? Did I was there an intonation in one of the words that I used that pissed you off? Is it something that I can? Did something I did? Did I do something?" Said, "No, I don't want the thing anymore. I don't listen to it anymore." And then she did the thing that pisses me off more than anything in the world, except for a lot of things, which I cannot name because there are so many that also piss me off even worse than this, but I don't want to talk about it right now. She says the following. "All right, it's $170 a year. What if I renew you for the year for $80? Oh, honey, what you just did, you have no idea. First of all, that's less than 50%. I'm sorry, it's more than 50% of, it's less than 50% what I'm paying. Paying $170, you're offering it at $80. That's like less than half. Of course I would love to renew, honey, but you put me in a position here."
She says, "What do you mean? What position did I put you in? I'm giving you a great price, less than 50% off, more than 50% off.
That was her voice. I said, yeah, you know what you just did, man? If I didn't call and seek to cancel, I would have been paying $170. Because I called and threatened the business, I'm getting it at $80. So in other words, what you're doing is you're screwing everybody that doesn't call to cancel. And she didn't know what to say. Oh my God, this isn't in the manual they gave me, she's saying. So as much as you're giving me a great deal, had I not called, you would have really screwed me. So I don't know if I can legally do this. I can only tell you what happened to me. If you want to save money on your stuff, simply call the company, whatever it may be. Could even be Comcast. It's happened to me with Comcast before. I want to cancel my cable subscription. Oh, you know, you can't do that. I want to cancel it. Please cancel. Would you consider like $20, paying $20 less? Okay. You can do that. It's like going into a car dealership. How much is that car, mister? Oh, that's $30,000. Not interested. I'll tell you what. I like you. We've been sitting here, we've been talking for 20 seconds, and I like you. All right, $30,000. This is going to kill. My manager is going to kill me, literally, again. But I'll give it to you for $28,000. 28, huh? Yeah, 28. But I'm making no money. I'm making no money off of 28. I'm making no money. But I like you. I like your face. Well, thank you very much. 28,000. You know what? I want to shop around more, and it's still really too high, and I really have to go now. And then you get up, and you start walking toward the door, and all of a sudden, like 90% of the time, you'll hear their voice in the background beckoning you before you walk out the door. Oh, wait. Wait a minute. Wait, come back here. You know, I told you I really like your face. I really like your legs. I've been looking at you. I really like your legs. And I don't do this. I've never done this, as a matter of fact, ever in my 72-year career here with the dealership. I've never done this. I've never had sex with a goat. I swear I've never done it. And I've also never brought the price down to the point where I'm going to be losing money, but I like your face and I like your legs. And here it is. I'm going to give you that car for $25,000. I've gone from 30 to 25. All right. So what you're saying to me, salesperson, is that had I not gotten up and started to leave the building, I would have paid you $5,000 more and you would have accepted it. You would have, like, built me for $5,000 more than what you're saying right now. You see, I told you that I liked your face and your legs, didn't I? And this is what bothers me, ladies and gentlemen. The meek person loses big time. The meek person is out tons and wads of cash because they didn't play the game. If you're a weak person or a trusting person, do not buy things like this. Have somebody else do this for you because you need someone who's street smart to survive in this world. Now, yeah, we don't do this with everything. You don't walk into Stop and Shop or Shaw's and on the shelf there is a can of corn for like 90 cents. You don't go up to the cashier or to the courtesy desk and say, look, you know, it's 90 cents for the can of corn. I don't really want the corn. Do you want to make me an offer? I'll take the corn like for 75 cents. How about 75 cents for the can of corn? They don't do that in a supermarket. Well sir, it's 90 cents. I can't give it to you for 75. It's 90 cents. That's the way it should be. Whatever price it is, you pay or you don't pay, or you go somewhere else and see if you can get it lower. But to have the price adjusted by the same company that's charging you even more is like a rip. It's a ripoff. It's legal to do it, but it's a ripoff. So you've got to play the game, and you got to know how to play it as well. I'm just saying, this lets out inexperienced young people who are like 18, 21 years old, who haven't been through this before. You guys are going to have some problems. And senior citizens who get too lazy and start to lose it a little bit upstairs, we all do. Hey, I started losing it when I was 40 years old. I started losing some of those brain cells. There was a reason for it, but I don't want to discuss it right now. Only kidding. Yeah, they take advantage of senior citizens who are a bit more helpless as well.
That's the price?
Yes, that's the price.
Okay.
Well, it's not the price. If you had some balls and you grew some, I hate that expression, you could have gotten that price down. You paid too much because you didn't open your mouth. That's an expression I've heard somewhere else, and I don't want to repeat where I heard that from. If you know what I mean. I'm just saying, just be wary of this stuff. It's impossible to leave Sirius satellite radio. You cannot leave it. It's not possible. You need to die first before they'll even consider canceling the contract. Yeah, my uncle Sid, he died 3 years ago. And I want to cancel the Sirius radio contract. He's dead.
How about for $60 a year? How about that?
No, he's dead. He can't listen to it.
All right, how about $30 a year?
You can't rid yourself of these people. It's just a warning, ladies and gentlemen. Part of what I do here on this podcast is to educate and warn you. I have nothing against Sirius Satellite Radio. As a matter of fact, I took the $80 deal because I'm not stupid. We'll see what happens next year, if you know what I mean. And I've had my cable bill reduced accordingly as well. You've just got to play the game. And I love Comcast Cable. I think that's going a little too far. Hold on, that's going a little too far. No, they're nice people. They're nice people. Here's the problem with all of this, and telemarketers as well. They're all like nice people. These people are earning a wage. They got a job, ma'am. They're trying to feed their families. They're trying to pay the bills. They got a job. They sit on a phone and they do their thing. I mean, I get that. That's fine. That's wonderful. And they are not the company. They don't own the company. They're just performing their job. I don't get mad at telemarketers. I don't get mad at the people on the telephone at Comcast. They don't own the place. They're just doing their job. I don't get mad at the telephone operators at the Sirius satellite radio place. It's a job. It's a job. I get it. I'm not mad at them. So who am I mad at? There's no point in being mad. There's just no point. You just gotta breathe in, breathe out, breathe in again, breathe out again, breathe in again, breathe out again.
One man, one microphone, 1 hour, so many random thoughts. You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
What we're going to do now is speak to some kids. They're not kids, actually. They are actual people who exist. They breathe. They live and breathe. They are people. They are with the John Hancock people. John Hancock, a very prestigious person from the past, who is now so famous in that sense that when someone signs something, they say, "Give me your John Hancock," as opposed to saying a signature. It's that famous. So this company does a survey every year to see where the American public is as far as how they feel about investing and money and all and retiring and all that kind of crap. So I spoke to them yesterday, and here's how that went. And we have with us Megan Green, economist, and market researcher Matthew Greenwald. Good morning to the both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What part of the country are you sitting in as we speak?
So we're currently in Boston at John Hancock's U.S. headquarters.
Oh, I'm waving to you. Look out the window.
Hey.
Almost.
That's you, huh?
That's right. Well, it depends on what you're looking at, but yeah, pretty much. Okay. Now, the John Hancock people did an index on something quite interesting. What was that about?
So we do a quarterly index looking at investment sentiment. We've been doing it since 2012, so we can gauge change over time and shifts in sentiment among investors over time. Now, our investors are generally fairly wealthy, so they have an income of over $75,000 and assets exceeding $100,000. And about two-thirds of them are full-time employed. So it's a particular group. But we have found some interesting shifts over time. Now, the headline score has stayed the same for the past three quarters. But if you look at some of the underlying questions, there are some shifts. And notably, investors are much more bullish about equities than they have been in the past. And whereas in the middle of the crisis, investors were really worried about maintaining their current lifestyles, now that economic conditions have improved a bit, they're focused a bit more on saving for retirement and planning for retirement. So they're increasingly investing in 401ks and IRAs. They also think that buying your own home is a good investment. Now, the one investment that our survey revealed was a bad investment is cash, and that's because of, you know, extremely low interest rates and because of inflation expectations.
Right.
So generally, investors have been really bullish. Some of their concerns in the past have been diminished in this quarter survey. So, for example, in the past, investors have been really worried about political gridlock in D.C. and about the national debt burden, about inflation and unemployment. They're still worried about these things, but those concerns are lower now than they have been in previous quarters.
Right.
The one thing that investors are actually more worried about now than they were in the past is oil and gas prices, and related to that, they're worried about unrest in the Middle East.
Yeah. And how much, this was a third quarter survey that was taken, and things are a little bit different as we speak today with world tensions. How much does the psychology of world tensions play into this?
Well, you know, as I mentioned, investors are very cognizant of the conflict in the Middle East. In terms of other geopolitical concerns, you know, they weren't particularly highlighted by this survey. That being said, we live in a globalized world. And so, you know, the policies implemented by policymakers in Europe, Japan, and China in particular will certainly affect the U.S. economy. But, you know, the U.S. has the world's reserve currency and the biggest treasuries market globally. So it is in a slightly different position in that it's a bit more independent in terms of determining its own economic fate.
Okay. One thing that's important is the Great Recession created a lot of fear. We're further and further away from it, and the recovery now seems more entrenched. And I think that's leading to a somewhat more positive psychology, a little less fear. And with less fear turns a move towards preparing financially for the future.
Right.
Saving for children's education, retirement. Then the question is, what do you do with the money?
Yeah,
so
it's,
I think you see,
yeah,
please.
Go on. Well, I'm questioning as to, I mean, when the economy is doing really well, then you're looking at the ability for prices to go up and for inflation, which is not good, but good if you have savings accounts. You can start saving money again, money markets, et cetera. So it's almost like good cop, bad cop all the time. It's a balancing act, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a balancing act. But I do think that, you know, any concerns about inflation over the next 5 years are probably overstated. So I think that inflation will actually be pretty low for pretty long, partly owing to the oversupply of labor globally. So I don't think we need to worry about prices shooting up.
I'm not worried.
And the survey indicates more baby steps than bold steps. You know, I think we're just slowly emerging from the concerns. And so there are some positive signs. And I think that's really the key. The economy is not going gangbusters.
Right.
The sentiment index is not going gangbusters, but we see some positive indications.
Sure.
Hopefully they'll last.
Well, gangbusters is probably not good anyway. So what is this? What does this all mean for people that are investing, or who are current investors, but more so for people that haven't really looked at investing in a while because it wasn't feasible for them?
I think two things. First of all, I think, and probably so, these investors have decided to focus a little more on retirement if they have children, their children's college education. Uh-huh. And part of that is there's a little less concern about running out of money in retirement. So I think a little more of a commitment to save through tax advantage vehicles if available, like a 401k.
Right.
Then the issue is, well, what do you do with the money? And the assessment of these investors is, don't keep it in cash, get it off the sidelines, take a hard look at equities.
Okay. A lot of people are talking about gold as a standard. I mean, is that kind of like, was that just during the recession that we were doing this gold thing?
Yeah, I do think that, you know, returning to the gold standard is not an option. And gold prices have really wavered throughout the crisis, but I don't think that we need to look at the gold standard.
Okay. All right. So where we go for more information about this?
Well, you can find more information about our investment sentiment index, as well as about John Hancock generally, on our website, which is www.johnhancock.com.
All right. And now I'm waving to you. Can you see me out the window?
Yes, and it was great talking to you. Appreciate it. So thanks for being so friendly.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
Bye.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloom.
My little investor friends from John Hancock. I really can't see them out my window at all. But they didn't know that, so that probably freaked them out somewhat. They're probably sitting, I assume, in the John Hancock Tower in Boston, looking out the window at all these other buildings and these other windows, figuring there's some radio schmuck there waving at them. Total gag on them. And boy, am I laughing now.
Put on a happy face.
Yeah, put on a happy face. Gray skies are going to clear up today on Thursday, if you're listening to this on October 2nd. That's absolutely true. And if you're in the John Hancock building, don't get too close to the window. Yeah. Those people at John Hancock, they're kind of clumsy. They should not be in that building. What is it with me? Why am I sounding like a valley girl half the time? What happened to me? I used to be a virile, macho guy. Now I'm walking around going, whatever, what happened? What's wrong with me? Something happened to me. Hey, join me on Wednesday of next week, October 8th, with Tori Wainwright. It's Tori Wednesday next week. When Tori's in town, weird things happen. She has the female perspective. I have the perspective of a large African goose. I don't know if there's any such thing, but it kind of sounded interesting to say. And that's on Wednesday. That'll be coming up Wednesday of this coming week. That'll be kind of fun. That'll be kind of fun, too. And some of the people we'll be talking to as the week rolls on. We talked about flu shots a little bit on Friday. I don't know if you had your flu shot or not, or if you're like paranoid about that. I know some people say, I ain't getting a flu shot. I don't do that crap. Yeah, I know. On Friday, we're going to be talking about, I'm sorry, on Thursday. Yeah, Friday. That's tomorrow. Crap. I'm so messed up. It's October's National Dental Hygiene Month. I hate going to the dentist. So tomorrow, we're going to talk about dentistry. How I cannot handle going to the dentist. I go because you're supposed to, but it's like one of the great problems of my life. My teeth have been perfectly wonderful through my whole life. I just hate going to the dentist. I don't like those people. If you're a dentist or a oral hygienist, quote unquote, which is a dentist nurse, you're wonderful people once again. But that whole category of sticking your hands in my mouth doesn't sit too cool with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't walk down the street going, excuse me, lady, would you stick your hands in my mouth, please, for just a little while? And then when you take them out, I will spit in a basin for you. It's not exactly something that I like to do. And these oral hygienists, I got to say to you, and they're usually females. I don't want any guy sticking his hands in my mouth. You know what I'm saying? If someone's going to stick their hands in my mouth, it's going to be a female. I don't know how erotic that is. I'm just saying. Maybe we can work something out. But no guy's going to put his hands in my mouth. No. Here's my point. Don't eat garlic. Don't eat onions. You are not allowed to eat any foods that have any odor to them whatsoever, because you're taking your freaking mouth and you're putting it near my mouth. Although I can't imagine being an oral hygienist, because some people must come in like reeking of bad breath and stuff, and you still got to deal with their mouth. Their mouth is open. Your face is in their mouth. I don't know how you do it, man. I mean, you might as well stick your head up a horse's ass, because it probably smells better there. I don't know how you do that. So I salute oral hygienists in a sense. In another sense, I don't want you near me. So I don't know who wins that game. Probably nobody. And then the dentist comes in after the oral hygienist has done everything already. And he looks at your mouth and he goes, oh, that's going to cost you another $2,000. They don't even say, you know, you have a cavity or you need a root canal. They just come in, oh, yeah, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you big time. That's going to be $2 million right there, baby. Yeah, I'm going to buy a boat here. I can see a boat on my dock next week. Oh, man. Oh, we got a lot of work here, baby. And just the phrase root canal, no. Root canal is like a canal is like when you dig into the ground and you make a canal and you fill it with water and stuff. I don't want you digging no canal in my gums, man. I'll talk about this tomorrow. It's dentist talk day tomorrow on the program. And then we're also going to speak tomorrow to a former Top Chef. See what they're doing these days. Won the Top Chef competition. I don't watch that show, so I'm not too sure. Malika Amin, A-M-E-E-N. We're going to talk to her tomorrow as well. So that's just some of what's happening on the show. Today is a prestigious day in my life. I will talk about myself now for the next 5 minutes. You can engage me or not. Perhaps what I talk about shall somehow connect with you, and we'll both be better off because of it. I doubt it, but let's see what happens. Today, I begin my exercise regimentation, which I have planned to do for the past 17 years. And it simply is this. I am not going to sit anymore. Everything I do from now on will be standing up. Except sex. That's, I still like that in the lying position, but that's too much information for you. Because otherwise it's just too much trouble. I'll be eating standing up. I will be doing this podcast standing up. I spent a lot of time sit here for an hour with the podcast thing, at least. I'll be standing up for that. I'm going to watch TV standing up. I'm going to keep my body in motion all day. I'm not going to be on a treadmill. I'm not going to be on a bicycle. I'm not going to be exhausting myself. I am going to simply be shifting my weight back and forth. Something as simple as that. I will be on my feet for the majority of the day. I will be walking a little bit here and there, which is really inconsequential. If I'm watching TV, I will stand in front of the TV and I will shift back and forth so that my body is in motion. Not a lot of motion involved, granted, but motion nonetheless. And someone told me, I won't divulge the person's name because there's no point to it because you don't know them. But this young lady told me that if you keep your body in motion three quarters of your waking day, that you will lose weight. And I said to her, what are you, freaking nuts? She said, no. She said, it's all about metabolism. It's of course, it's what you eat. It's what you put in your mouth. It's how often you see the dentist. It's not what I'm talking about, she said. But if you constantly are shifting your weight and moving your body, even in the smallest manner, she says, you will lose weight because your metabolism will keep moving. She says, even when you're eating, the action of chewing and swallowing is also actually exercise in itself. I said, okay, honey, we're going to try this out. So I'm going to see how long I can do this for, which means more than one day would be amazing for me. But I don't know. Perhaps it will work. I will report to you the results if I so feel like it. One of the greatest compliments I can ever get, and if you see me on the street, or you see me at a cocktail mixer or something, or drinking a cocktail, which is probably where you're going to see me. The greatest compliment, that, and I'm not a girl. I'm not a girl, but I love this. And it's to me, it's kind of a girly thing to say. But Ron, have you lost weight? Ron, you're looking good. Have you lost weight? Oh, I love that. I love that. You will be my friend for life. You'll be my friend for 5 minutes. I love that compliment. It makes me feel good. Just hearing that is rejuvenation for a person. If you walk up to a person that you haven't seen in a while, or even that you just saw a couple of days ago, you say, hey, how you doing? Hey, you're looking good. That is so significant to that person. And you could be lying. I lie half the time when I'm doing that because I like to give. I like to give compliments. It makes somebody else feel good. And I like to be... You see, I like positive energy around me. So if I can create the positive energy, then it will be around me. If I don't do the positive energy thing, then it's going to be negative for sure because I'm negative to begin with. So, but you start by saying, oh, you're looking really good today. That starts the positive energy going. And then you can enjoy that little repartee that hopefully takes place for no more than 15, 20 seconds. Okay. That's enough. Have yourselves a wonderful day. I do wish you peace, and I look forward to spending some time with you tomorrow doing this, not personally. Don't get me wrong, I am not going to spend personal time with you tomorrow. It's simply that if you tune in, you can hear another show. That's all I meant by that. Not trying to start anything here. Sometimes you have to clarify these things. If you have license plate number 21VS78, your lights are on.